My Mac Podcast number 162, live from the press room at the Macworld Expo San Francisco 2008.
The next generation of radio, it's the MyMac.com podcast.
Yes, we're recording right now. My name is Tim Robertson, broadcasting live from the Macworld Expo press room with pretty much the whole group of the MyMac.com people here this year. Sitting around the round table, we have Owen Rubin sitting on the... What size computer you got there?
I have a 12-inch MacBook. I mean, a PowerBook.
PowerBook G4, and yeah, that's going to be replaced soon, correct?
It's the last of the PowerBooks, yes. And I'm looking at this new ultra-thin thing they have. I'm going to go down and pre-order one today.
As we record this, Steve Jobs is actually still on the stage announcing all the new goodies that us Mac geeks are going to be buying for the next 12 months and probably longer. Ultra thin, portable. Everybody's been wanting one.
2 gigabytes of memory, $17.99. What's it say it weighs?
And it's called a what? An AirBook?
What did they call it?
Is it AirBook? Is that what's
the name? Remember that? Yeah. MacBook Air.
MacBook Air. That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Oh, it does.
Why didn't they just call it an AirBook? Wouldn't that have made more sense?
Oh, there it is. MacBook Air.
MacBook Air.
Shipping in 2 weeks, so you can order it now. Looks pretty good. I mean, it's
$17.99.
No optical drive in it, but then most people don't care. You have it external, or you use the new AirPort device, and you put a disk on that.
NAS, network storage, 500 gigs or 1 terabyte.
In fact, he's showing now how remote disk works right now. So Steve is standing up on the stage talking about how remote disk works now, so you can have a remote CD or DVD.
Also around the table, we have Dan Robinson. He's on his MacBook Pro. Is that a MacBook Pro?
It is a MacBook Pro, the 15-inch.
15-inch. Looks like you got the same one as I did. Is that 2 gigahertz?
Hang on.
He's not even sure.
Exactly what I got.
I wasn't sure yesterday. I couldn't remember.
It is the 2.2 gigahertz.
2.2. So his is 200 megahertz faster than mine.
Yeah, one generation better.
Guy Searle sitting over there in his iBook, 933 G4 iBook. That's going to have to be replaced.
Actually, I forgot the date of this one. When did this one come out?
The G4 12-inch? Oh, boy.
This has got to be 4 years old, right?
John Nimorowski's taking pictures over there. He's sitting in front of his MacBook Pro.
15-inch,
1.667 gigahertz. Larry Grinnell is here, and he's got his black MacBook. Do I even want to say the computer that David Cohen is on? I don't even think...
I'd like to thank you for not bringing the Windows machine this time and not me, okay?
He is actually using a Windows machine. What is that called?
The Asus EPC.
Asus EPC. EPC.
This is a very cheap Linux ultra-portable machine, though I've actually got Windows on here.
You bought a brand new MacBook.
I did buy... I wanted to upgrade my MacBook, and I bought one a couple of days ago. Got some money off it from CompUSA, which was nice. I was holding out for the MacBook Air, but ultimately I decided I'd rather buy two computers for the price of one. So I bought this, which is a portable machine, and then I've got the new MacBook.
Are you kind of bummed out that you bought that now?
No. I think the MacBook Air is a fantastic looking machine, and ultimately one day I'd really like to own one. But really, for what I need now, I need to have a Windows machine for work. And it was a case of getting two machines for the price of one.
So sitting right next to me is Artie. Hi, Artie.
Hey, how you doing, Tim?
Good. It's good to see you again. I think we met for the first time last year at the Macworld Expo.
We did. It was great.
And talked a few times on the phone and email, and I'm glad you made it this year. You're sitting in front of a MacBook.
It's
got damage on it. It's falling apart on you, man.
I'm afraid the piping's coming off the edge here, but I was just informed by David Cohen that I'd be able to actually take this over to the Mac guys at the store.
Yeah.
And because Nemo talked me into getting the extended warranty.
Oh, it's
smart
gonna be
move. It's going to be covered. And David said they'd probably replace the whole keyboard for me, including the trackpad and everything. So
yeah, and if you can scare them while they're holding it and they drop it, maybe they'll just give you something brand new.
I probably could.
As long as the hard drive's not damaged, you can get your dad off.
That's right.
Yeah. Owen's Rubin's
Shift and A
PowerBook
for some reason.
Is just
it's very clean. I mean,
it's very clean. The keys
except
are
the
just
keys
wearing,
are wearing
apart.
Out, yeah.
That's kind of funny. And so
just these two though.
as I said on yesterday's podcast, we weren't allowed into the keynote. And to be quite honest, I don't really care, honestly. It gave us the opportunity to get together a little sooner.
Randy Newman is on stage now.
Randy Newman. So the show is pretty much over.
Is he going to do short people for the short MacBook?
Not at 10:30.
So new MacBook, new online storage device from Apple.
Movie rentals. The new Apple TV software update that doesn't require a computer.
iPhone update.
I'm surprised there wasn't a new iPhone introduced. I was really expecting one.
A lot of stuff. We're going to have a lot more podcasts that's going to go into, obviously, a lot more details on what was released today.
Five new apps for the iPod Touch, by the way.
But most of those are existing apps that were on the iPhone.
They've moved over. Mail, stock, notes.
But they're going to charge $20 to do
weather
that.
Weather and maps,
$20 to update your Touch with software that it should have had from day one. That's nice. So, okay, who wants to talk on the podcast? What do you guys want to talk about? We're recording here, so... And everybody's,
Apple TV.
Apple TV.
Still missing.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'll pass this over, and you and John can talk. This should sound good on the
Okay. We have the Apple TV. It has what were the drive sizes on that?
You guys talk.
Well, we are talking amongst ourselves.
Okay.
It's what. Still 40 and 160, slightly reduced in price. No optical drive. No other additional HDMI inputs.
So why? What's new? What's better? What's different?
I guess the only thing that's really different is the movie rentals.
Okay.
And that you no longer need to have it synced to a computer's iTunes account. You can basically set that up from the device.
I think the hardware is probably the same because they're issuing an update to the old Apple TVs to give it new functionality.
Without a cost?
Without a $20 cost for a Sarbanes-Oxley.
That would be nice.
So I think hardware-wise, probably the new devices are just the same. It's the software they've changed.
Okay, so were you surprised that there wasn't an optical drive of some kind?
Not an optical drive. I'm surprised the hard drive sizes haven't gone up because they're now pushing HD on the Apple TV, and of course HD takes a lot more space than standard definition content.
Well, and also there are larger drives in that same size now. I mean, I've seen advertising for 250 gig drives. Or larger.
Yeah, I was really surprised with HD being the push that they didn't have a bigger hard drive.
Well, plus also if it's not going to be tied to an iTunes account on a computer. And if this is a standalone device, what happens? What happens when you fill that up?
Yeah.
Does that mean you have to dump something that you paid for in order to watch something new?
So I'll do a quick plug for a competing device called Vudu. You guys can look it up online.
Vudu?
V-U-D-U. They introduced it at CES, and basically it's going to be a device just like this that has a huge hard drive in it, but they use BitTorrents. So all the movies don't have to be on your hard drive. If you go to play a movie you don't have, they BitTorrent in and it plays almost instantaneously. And I'm wondering if Apple's doing the same kind of thing. How are they getting movies there instantaneously if they don't store them all on your hard drive? They have to be doing something similar.
They must be streaming it and peer-to-peer streaming.
Well, I'm sure there'll be more information coming out as time goes on.
I suspect it's a BitTorrent client, very much like this other box. So.
And wouldn't that depend on having a lot more Apple TVs out there than what's there right now for it to be effective?
Yep. But I'm assuming they'll update the software in all of them. So.
Yeah.
Now the question is whether ISPs will approve of BitTorrents becoming a legal file sharing system and eating up all their bandwidth.
Well, I know, because I'm with Cox in Northern Virginia, and there's been several times when, while using a BitTorrent client, that I've come back and it's just dropped completely for no apparent reason.
And Comcast now has said publicly that they are shutting down the bandwidth on BitTorrent, so they basically just squeeze it almost to zero to stop people from doing file sharing, because they assume the only use of BitTorrents is illegal file sharing. But there's a lot of new devices now. Well, not for, maybe for you.
Yeah. So it's gonna be interesting. But as always with the keynote, you get the headlines, and then after the keynote finishes, we get a lot more of the detail.
Right.
It's only really once you've had a chance to digest that you can understand.
That's right.
Steve Jobs brought the potatoes, and now we're waiting for the meat.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what about the...
That's a very strange metaphor.
No, meat and potatoes. What about the new Apple Airport Extreme? What are your thoughts on that?
This is a time capsule device.
Yes. So
it's got a 500 gigabyte and a terabyte.
500 gigabyte and 1 terabyte.
I love the idea of network storage. I mean, the whole idea, especially like in my house, we have 3 Macs. So, and sharing files means you always have to connect to the particular machine. But there's a lot of stuff that we could share, you know, with one device. And now the backup software will work to a remote device over the network. And you don't have to worry about plugging and unplugging a hard drive into a laptop. I love the idea.
The thing I always find is that, I mean, I've been doing a bit of network streaming and network storage for a while now, and I'm thinking long and hard about recabling my house.
So am I.
Because the wireless, fast as the wireless is, even when you've got 802.11n, it's nothing like a cable. Cable's like plugging a USB drive in. It just, if you do it over Ethernet, it's really, really fast.
Right.
And the only thing that concerns me slightly about devices like a time capsule, good as they are, is that if you don't get reliable Wi-Fi connections, then you can have problems. You know, you think your data might be backed up, and in fact it isn't. So,
I do have cables, but I have to rewire anyway because I have 10 base T in a lot of places and 100 base T in others, and it's just amazingly how slow that seems today. Yeah. Now.
Well, I've got the first gen Apple Airport Extreme, which came with 300 base T inputs. Right. And I'm not currently using any of them. Every single thing that I'm doing is being done off of the 802.11n that it comes with. And I'm finding as far as surfing the web and email and all the rest of it.
It's great.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Fun. Right. But now if you're going to back up, 100 gigabytes of data from a computer, or you're going to try to stream HD movies, they're not going to go across that. I mean, HD movies need about 20 megabits per second.
Well, currently as far as backup goes, I've got the... I've got a 250 gig drive connected to my kid's G5 iMac, and I'm using, Carbon Copy Cloner or what's the other one?
Super Duper.
Is that the one from Wasi?
Silver Surfer,
backup?
I think.
Silver something, yeah. They have a great little backup utility.
Yeah, Silver Surfer, I think.
Silver Surfer, yeah, that's actually a great little backup.
And so I just back up their entire machine with all 4 of the user accounts directly to that, and I've got... 500 gigabyte drive connected to my Core 2 Duo 24-inch iMac that I have connected up through with Time Machine, so everything's backed up to there. And as far as the laptop goes, I've got a couple of small 1.8-inch FireWire USB drives that I back all that up to, but it sounds like they're taking, because for a long time with Time Machine, when Leopard first came out, you couldn't back up to a network drive without doing some kind of hack.
Yeah.
So,
used it yet, so.
And this will probably come out in 10.5.2, where they'll finally allow you to do this. Now, my question is, those of us with older Airport Extremes, are they going to update the firmware in those to allow us to hook up a USB drive to them and use that in the same function?
That wasn't clear. This sounds like a new device.
Well, no, I'm sure it is a new device. But are they going to forget those of us who's already paid for something somewhat equivalent and allow us to do the same thing?
Yeah. But I think it's interesting, sort of strategically, you look at what they've done today. They've got the time capsule device. They've got the, the things they're doing with Apple TV. We're waiting for more detail on that. And then there's the shared virtual CD drive software that they're shipping with the MacBook Air to compensate the fact it doesn't have an optical drive. So you can basically put a CD or DVD in your Mac and the MacBook
Air. Other Mac.
Yeah, and your MacBook Air will see that and treat it like it's a local disk. So that what Apple are doing is they've clearly got a strategy of saying, we're going to build the software so it doesn't matter where the physical devices are, the network will make it all happen.
Right.
And I think Leopard sort of had a lot of that as well with, back to my Mac and all that sort of thing. So clearly this is a direction Apple are going in. It'll be interesting to see with the 2 products launched today, Time Capsule and then the Apple TV update, whether the Apple TV update can use a Time Capsule drive as an extra storage medium or a backup medium.
Right. Yeah. Because, again, when we were talking about that just before we started, was if you say you have a 40 gigabyte Apple TV, even a new one, and you have purchased X number of movies or X number of some type of digital content, and you've filled up that drive.
Yeah.
Well, you want to buy something else, but there's no more space on the existing drive in your Apple TV to do so.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's going to, first in, first out, your the purchase content that you have to make room for something new.
Or say you can't rent this movie because you haven't got enough space.
Right.
So
chances are they wouldn't do that because they want you to buy it.
Yeah.
They would just say, okay, well, we'll just get rid of this. This is the last thing that you have.
So it'll be interesting to see.
And I think that's all we got. We're going to turn this back over to Tim to close out, and we'll see what goes on with it.
Go, goodbye.
Okay, I think we're going to wrap up this podcast for now. We're going to record more later and make it more than a 16-minute podcast, obviously. We've got a lot of information to digest, checking out Apple's booth and the new products in person, and so to be continued.
This is John Nemo from the MyMac.com podcast. I'm in the basement of Moscone Center with Bill Palmer from iProng. Hi, Bill.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
Glad to have you here. What do you plan to cover this year at the Macworld Expo?
Well, I'm going to primarily cover the new stuff that comes out for iPod and iPhone, whether that's from Apple itself or just ends up being the accessories from the other companies.
And how many people from iProng are you here with?
Officially, it's me, myself, and I, so that's three, I think.
How many did you have last year?
Last year, there were three of us. The expo's a little later this year. A couple of schedules didn't work out for some of the regulars. A couple of the guys who write for iProng magazine on and off are here, so in different points we'll have different people with me, but I'm all lonely today.
And how do you feel you're going to handle the South Hall and the West Hall? Do you feel like you need to be seven places at once?
Not necessarily. Being such a big Mac user, it's kind of disappointing that I kind of have to skip all the Mac booths this first time around. But it does make it so that I only have to cover about 40% of what's going on here for the publication, which is what makes it possible to do it without separate teams. And then Friday I'll run around all the Mac stuff that I passed up the first time that looked interesting.
And are you going to be posting either interviews or videos or text things during the week, or are you going to wait till you're all finished?
I'm going to live blog the keynote tomorrow. Directly on my iPhone, so that'll be kind of a novelty. Yeah, I did it at the September event. It came out pretty well, considering. Beyond that, though, I think we've got another issue of the magazine coming out this Tuesday, so I'll probably just wait for all the smaller stuff and just put it all into that, rather than trying to rush it out on the... probably spent too much time in the press room last year posting stuff up to the minute. And so, wait till Tuesday.
But do you feel like you're under pressure being by yourself with all this stuff, or do you feel you're going to be able to pace yourself?
I think, last year we did have three people, but most of the time we ended up just sticking together as one team.
I remember that year.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think, probably be able to move just as fast and cover just as much ground. I'm going to have to operate the camera myself, though, this year, which is kind of, that's a little scary. So.
What about the awards? Your awards made a huge splash last year. How are you going to handle that this year?
Yeah, we're going to do it the same way. We're going to wait and give them out on Friday, so that gives us the whole week to make sure we saw everything before we, and that's where I'll come in handy with... have different members or part-time members of the staff with me to help me kind of. And then Thursday night we'll all sit down and I'll show the rest of the staff everything that we saw, whoever didn't see this or that. And then we'll just kind of hash it out Thursday night to see what, because I even though I don't want to make all the decisions alone on that because it's just too much. You see too much and it's nice to have different perspectives on, especially when you're making those in the heat of the moment decisions.
Where do you see iProng a year from now?
Ooh. Sitting here talking to you, I guess.
Okay.
Right now we're making this big transition from, we've been a website for 4 years. Now we got the mag, even though it's just, there's no print version, it's digital magazine. A lot of people asking, are we going to do a print version down the road? I don't know. I have to see how that goes. I think a year from now we'll probably be much more geared toward the magazine one way or another, but exactly how that plays out, I'm not sure.
And what about the behind the scenes? Do you do all the hosting and all the coding and all the uploading? In other words, are you a one-man show for the magazine?
No. I used to try to do that, and I'm really lousy at web design. So, in fact, the entire site is being redesigned right now by a new guy who just came on board recently. He's done some other stuff for us in the past. So I think within the next month or two, we'll have a complete redesign of the site. We're going to get a new logo and everything.
Time out for one second.
Yeah. So hopefully within a month or two, we'll see a new version of the iProng website that's being designed right now, even with a new logo and everything. And, I'm like just Homer Simpson at the car factory. They show it to me, and I say, me like, me no like, and we go from there, because some of that stuff's just way over my head.
Well, we're looking forward to lots of close encounters with Bill Palmer, and we wish you all the best, and we support your work, and we're delighted to have you as one of our men on the blog site at MyMac.com, Bill. Hey,
my pleasure. Thanks.
Great. Have a great show.
I'll try.
All right, we're at the ProSoft Engineering booth, as well as JoeSoft, and we're here with Greg Brewer. You are the president of the company.
That's correct, yes. I started the company myself in 1985. We've been here since the beginning of the Mac. And we have a lot of great products that that people seem to love. You can see by the busyness of our booth here. This year is the first year we're announcing at the Macworld show, we're unveiling our JoeSoft brand, which is a division of ProSoft, where we're now focusing on consumer-level sort of software products that are available here at the show. They're available online, and they're available in retail stores just about anywhere computer products are sold.
1985 is a long time ago in the internet age. I mean, that's almost 80 years ago.
Yeah, in dog years. Well,
yeah, exactly. What were you doing in 85? What was the products then?
You know, the company started out as an engineering consulting services company. So we were involved in most of the development projects that were going on the Mac platform. We worked with Apple. We worked with Canon, iOmega, you know, anybody you can mention. We'd work with them, develop their products for them as an engineering team. Or in conjunction with them, because we had the Mac expertise here being local in the Silicon Valley nearby Apple. We developed a lot of expertise over the years. We at one time had 60 engineers all out on projects working with other companies, helping them get their Mac products up and running and out the door. So back in 2000, ProSoft made a transition from an engineering consulting services company to a products company. And we haven't looked back. It's been great for us ever since. Since 2000, we've been moving forward, new products every year. The company's been growing every year. So it's been a great
different
ride.
Different mentality, though?
Absolutely different mentality. Now our boss is every customer.
Absolutely.
We take that very seriously. We're one of the few companies that has free technical support via phone, email, online. We take our products seriously. We take the customer's needs seriously.
We've reviewed your stuff in the past. We've always given it high marks. You got a new product that's actually launching here at Macworld this year?
We have a new product that's launching here at Macworld. We have a number of things. The biggest product and biggest excitement that we have right now is a new version, 2.0 version of our Drive Genius product.
We had comments on our board already this morning, and I saw when we said we were going to be here at this booth today, someone said, please ask about Leopard compatibility and Drive Genius 2. I'm waiting and waiting for this.
Yeah, Drive Genius.
So we have good news for them.
Absolutely. Drive Genius is a fantastic product, very successful product on the Mac platform. It's the most used disk utility sort of product. As you know, it's sort of a Swiss Army knife like product.
But everybody needs a Swiss Army knife.
Exactly, and it's used it's used at Apple internally. You know, Apple has a site license for all their employees. They use it regularly every day. It's used exclusively at the Apple Genius bars and all the stores to maintain customer drives that come in for service.
Mac users are so in love with our machines, and when something goes wrong, we want to get them back. And Mac users generally, I think, they don't take their computer to someone else to fix. They're going to fix it themselves. So this is really a product that pretty much every Mac user should probably have in their toolbox.
Yeah, it is a Mac users are unique in that way. They love their computer and they want to take care and nurture their computer.
We want to know how it works.
Thankfully, ProSoft has been in the business of being able to give people products that are very useful, a lot of functionality, but are easy to use, so people can go in. They can do seemingly complex tasks, like repartitioning drives, doing optimizations of the drives, fixing directory structure problems with their drives. Drive Genius does all of these things. That's the Swiss Army knife aspect of it. The new version 2.0 adds to that a fantastic new user interface that you just have to see to believe. It makes Time Machine look amateurish. I think I recommend everybody come out and take a look at it.
When's everybody listen to this, they're going to want to buy it. When are they going to actually be able to send you some money and buy it?
We are hoping for that to happen over the next couple of weeks. Right now, the only way you can get Drive Genius is come on down to the show. We are actually giving copies of it out here in our Master Pack CD, which includes all of the products that JoeSoft and ProSoft make. The only place that that Drive Genius is available right now.
So if you're at the show or you're going to be at the show this week, definitely stop by the JoeSoft and ProSoft booth. It's one and the same. And look at us. We're gonna be here every day at 11 a.m. from, let's say, Tuesday. So we're going to be here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday doing the Apple quiz. We're going to get ready to start that really quickly here. Thanks a lot for talking to us. We're going to be here for the rest of the week. Anybody listening, come on by the booth. Say hi to us. Buy this product. You're going to really, really want it. We've reviewed every version of it so far, and we love it, so thanks a lot for making great software. Could you imagine yourself, if you can go back in time and pull the 1985 you and brought them forward, do you think you would recognize your company?
No, we made a lot of changes, very fundamental changes, and I'm happy with the direction we've been going and the direction we continue to go in. And it is somewhat of a surprise, but a lot of hard work and perseverance is bringing us to where we are, and we're looking forward to the future.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
All right, one of the questions I get from a lot of new Mac users are, do they need to run spyware detection type software? Do they need to run virus? Everyone says there's no such thing on the Mac, but actually that's really not the case. And I think it's probably a good idea for new Mac users and experienced Mac users to run some kind of detection system for Mac spyware. And I'm looking at a product right now. I'm at the booth here at the Macworld Expo called MacScan, and I'm with Nicholas. Hi, Nick.
How are you doing?
Does anybody call you Nick, or is it all Nicholas?
Nick is perfect.
Nick is perfect. You're at SecureMac.com. The product is MacScan. I really like the... Is that the logo?
It is. Thank you.
I like that. I'm going to have to put that up on the website. So why don't you explain what this product does, why our listeners should definitely go out and download a trial copy and try it out. I take it you do have a trial copy on your website?
We do. 30-day fully functional demo of MacScan.
And when they realize they want it, how much is it going to cost them?
It's $29.99.
That's cheap. That's not expensive at all.
Includes free definition updates as well.
For forever?
Definitions
or
lifetime.
Okay. What version? Is this the first version of the software?
This is version 2.5.
So you guys are mature.
We've been...
No one's alpha testing software for you if they buy it.
Not anymore. We've been exhibiting at Macworld. This is our third year now. Mm-hmm. So we've had some great feedback from people over these past couple years.
How many times do you hear from your customers saying, man, I had no idea this was on my system. I'm glad your software was on there and found it for us.
Quite often. And some funny situations.
Yeah.
Many users not knowing it was on there and...
Do you think Mac users are a little bit too laid back with their security issues on their machines?
I think they used to be. I think more so now people are getting serious about security.
Yeah, more and more people are starting to use Macs too, so it's really going to become a target in the future for a lot of malicious stuff, and it's better to protect yourself now.
It definitely is. Well,
go ahead.
Just in October, we saw the DNS Changer Trojan Horse released for the Macintosh.
Yep.
DNS Changer has been around for Windows for quite some time, and they even decided that there's enough Mac users out there where they'd want to go ahead and develop the spyware for it. And we now detect three different variants of their spyware.
So if this is something that's in the wild, your product's going to take care of it, the MacScan.
Correct.
Easy to use? I mean, I know some people would be intimidated coming from a Windows environment using that Norton crap that's really difficult to use. Is MacScan something the average mom-and-pop Mac user is going to be able to use easily?
Oh, no doubt. Once it's installed on your computer, you just set it up, click the scan button, it tells you what it finds, and then you're able to remove it. If you want to, you could even schedule scans for certain days of the week.
And it'll do it when you're not sitting there, so...
Exactly, no wasting
resources. I take it it's probably not super processor intensive. It's not. If you're running in the background, you're still going to be able to render a movie and stuff like that.
You're still going to be able to do that. Scans will take anywhere from 5 minutes, depending on how big your hard drive is, to a couple hours.
Will it scan external hard drives as well that are
it
connected?
It does, yes.
It sounds like a really cool program. MacScan, you can check it out at SecureMac.com. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you, Jim.
Last year, one of the videos that we did was at the RhinoSkin booth, and they had these little the color clips for the shuffles, and they actually gave me some last year. And I took them home because my daughters both have shuffles, and they went gaga over these things, and they argued on who got the pink one or who got the red one. So I had to go to the store, and I had to buy exactly the same sets that I got for free at the Macworld so they can both have the same. I'm back at their booth this year. Kelly's here, and she's showing me the cool stuff. I love the shuffle cases, but that's not all we've got this year, is it?
That isn't. In fact, our newest endeavor and something that we have in stock now is the anodized aluminum MacBook case.
It's gorgeous. My podcast co-host, Chad Perry, you've got the one back there with the little thing on top.
We have the ABS plastic
case. Yep, he's got that, and he's very, very pleased with it.
He really likes it
a lot.
May I? Sure.
And other people are stealing your product away.
Yes.
Look
it's
at that.
Chaos.
It's so great. People are just taking it and walking away.
It's chaos.
It is.
You're right.
So this is a great-looking product. It looks like an aluminum power book.
Yes. Yes, and it's lightweight. What's nice, people like the accessory case. You can put your
cords
and other
your
things.
Straps and your power cable set. And most cases don't take that into consideration.
Good for back to school set. And also, this one is doubles as a stand.
Oh, awesome. So it flips around, and you can put
around.
Your laptop right there.
Absolutely.
So that hot MacBook Pro is not burning your lap.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my wife recently had the operation, so she couldn't have any more children, because we've got four now.
Wow.
The other option was I was just going to use the MacBook Pro on my lap for about 3 months straight. I think that would have taken care of the... But I think if you don't want to kind of go that route for a vasectomy, this is the way to go. That's great. So it doubles as a stand. That's really fantastic. So they can check it out at www.rhinoskin.com.
Absolutely.
And you know, Chad Perry, like I said, guys, he's a user of these products. My kids have used the shuffle cases. They make really fantastic looking, and it just works. And it's very durable. I like them. It's really nice stuff, and it doesn't put gaudy colors over the Mac or the iPod screens. It looks great. Yeah, when you pay that much for an iPod, you want to see it. Your cases allow you to see it, and yet it's still protected.
And a lot of cases don't have the screen protection that we offer. And we do make everything device-specific, so it's a snug fit. You don't get a lot of play. It's going to fit snugly. You're not going to get a lot of play and not going to get this, you know, scratching and debris in there that you would with some other cases. So.
I've used a lot of iPod cases, and there's a lot of companies, obviously, here that makes iPod cases. But having reviewed and used your products in the past, I can definitely say that people are really going to enjoy it. Check out rhinoskin.com. And if you buy something, send them a note. Say, I heard this on the podcast.
We love to hear from our customers.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.
A couple of months ago with the G5, I had a drive fail on me. I was fortunate. I was actually able to rescue it. I got all my data off. I replaced the drive. That's not always going to be the case, especially if your Macintosh has been run over by a car. And when that happens and there's no way you can software-wise fix that drive, there's a great place called Drive Savers. I'm here at the Drive Savers booth. Tell me a little bit about Drive Savers, what you guys do.
Fair enough, Tim. Thanks for stopping by today. Yeah, we have been in the data recovery business since 1985. We were founded as a Macintosh hard drive recovery company by two gentlemen named Scott Guidano and Jay Hagan, who are still the president and the CEO of the company. Back in the 80s, they worked for a company called Jasmine Hardware. And although Jasmine sold backups, a lot of people didn't purchase the things. And when Jasmine went under, here were these two gentlemen that had all this experience in the disk drive industry, and they decided to open Drive Savers. And shortly thereafter, we became the authorized data recovery service for the Mac. Since our inception back in the mid-80s, we've become probably the largest privately held data recovery company in the world. We work on all platforms, not just limited to Macintosh, but Windows, Linux, Unix, etc. All types of storage media, so everything from compact flash to iPhones to desktop and laptop computers, all the way up to your big RAID, NAS, SAN devices.
Our lives now are on our hard drives. Our pictures are on there. Our music is on there. Sometimes we have to recover that. That's where you guys are coming in.
No question.
Now, let's say I have a problem right now, and I need you guys to fix this for me. How do I go about that? What do I do?
Well, really what you want to do first is, once you've determined that you have a hard drive failure, let's just say, you've been to the Apple store or, maybe someone who sold you a piece of external media and they told you call Drive Savers, you can call our 800 number. Do you mind me telling you that? 800?
Absolutely.
Okay. You can reach us 24/7, 365 at 800-440-1904. And, we receive so many calls. We field between 12,000 and 15,000 calls a month.
Wow.
From around the world for
That's
people
amazing.
That have lost data from everything from, their iPhone to, again, their hard drive on their desktop laptop, tape recovery, CDs, DVDs, compact flash, whatever the case
media,
may be.
If it's media, you can pretty much recover.
If you can write to it, we can recover from it.
What's the... Obviously, there's going to be some that nobody can recover.
Right.
It fell in lava. It's a
right.
slag heap. You can't.
Right.
But is there a percentage of the data that you guys can kind of say,
this is how much we can rescue? There's short of two things that will prevent us from recovering the data from a hard drive. A massive head crash, which will literally scrape all the data off a drive where we can't ever gain access to it to create a physical image of it.
Right.
Those types of situations are unrecoverable. Or if it's a zero-fill format where you write zeros across the whole platter.
Then it's gone.
Then you're done. You know, but short of those two things, if we can get an image of the hard drive, we have a greater than 90% success rate in recovering the critical files for the customer.
That's amazing. So if you've got a hard drive that is just died, you guys need to get that data off of there. You've tried every software program that you can use. Drive Savers is pretty much where to go. Thanks a lot for talking to us today.
Thanks for your time.
Well, day one of the Macworld Expo, the proper Macworld Expo, when the halls are open, we know what Steve is going to release. Everybody knows it at this point. All the reporters that are here, all the journalists from MyMac.com have sore feet. And we're kind of getting together a little bit towards the end of the day before everything closes down. We want to talk about some of the products that we saw, some of the things that we'd like to get, some of the things that maybe we want to kind of avoid that. We're going to start with David Cohen. David, this is your last day here completely, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Jumping on an airplane. And
I am going to do some real work as opposed to this, which is for me is playtime.
Yeah, but how do your feet feel right now?
They're killing me.
Yeah, so that's kind of real work, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Are your feet going to kill you at the real workplace?
No, I'm going to be sat on my backside listening to companies pitch at me.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be a different sort of thing, but I've massively enjoyed this.
So really this has been your first Macworld Expo.
Yeah.
How do you describe the atmosphere here?
I was just putting together a blog post before about this. What amazes me is that I'm sat down in a room, and I know that in the room next door, the very latest Apple products have just been released. I saw them maybe 10, 15 minutes after they were announced. I was there at an official Apple booth with guys there saying, okay, this is what it do, this is what it can't do. It really was, you know...
And you could touch it.
You could touch it, you could feel it, you could play with it. You know, I mean, there was virtually a stampede when they opened the doors to let everyone in there to get to the Apple stand and have a look at these new machines and the new routers and everything. And it was really great, you know. Everybody here is, you know, you know everyone's of a mind. You look around everywhere, there's people sat down, you can see Apple logos on the back of laptops everywhere.
It's almost kind of weird, isn't it?
It is.
Coming from a world that... I know there's not a lot of Apple gear around you on a daily basis. There isn't me either. Mm. You're kind of on this little island. And then you come here, and everybody's got Apple gear.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're not quite as special in a way, you know?
And you can just, I mean, we just did it before. You can sit down next to somebody who you've never spoken to before, and you can say, what do you think of the new things?
Yeah.
What do you think of the show floor?
And they've got an informed opinion.
Exactly. And they'll say, yeah, I saw this, and that looks really good, and I saw that, and it looks like rubbish. And, you know, you can really have an interesting dialogue with somebody you've only just met. It's really great.
And you've got this little thing that's in common. So did you look at any of the other vendors other than Apple? Did you make
your way
around the floor?
Yeah, I've done my... Obviously, I'm only here for a day, so I've done my best to cover it.
Did you go to both halls?
I did.
Okay.
I specifically went to see Drobo because I wrote a review of their product recently. They've now got a network-attached storage module to go on the bottom of that, and that was very interesting. And what was also interesting is their stand was... hip deep with people buying products. You know, people, they're literally flying off the shelves over there. So that was really good. I really enjoyed spending time at the competition we did on the ProSoft stand this afternoon. You know, it was really interesting to see what they're doing and the fact they're splitting their company product lines into two. You know, there's a consumer line.
We were at the ProSoft booth quite a bit. Of course, they're our sponsor this year.
That's right.
They have very interesting software.
Very interesting to see. There's an awful lot of really good quality laptop bags I noticed on the floor today, mm-hmm. which is something I've not seen before. There's an awful lot of, you know, what I would call sort of, you know, rather poorly made laptop products out there. This year, and interesting, people have said before, oh, you know, you go to Macworld and it seems like an iPod show. Definitely not the case this year. It is all about particularly the laptops. They are just everywhere. Everyone's using them. Everyone's talking about them. The fact that we've got a new laptop launch here has sort of stimulated that a little bit. But I think really this year is a Mac year. It's not an iPod year. And that very much came across from the show floor for me.
I agree with you 100%. Is there products that you saw that you thought kind of shady? I think I might stay away from that. I know you may not remember the names, but
there's a few vendors who kind of, you can tell that they're fronting up from Far East manufacturers, and they've just got a range of different things.
iPod cases.
Exactly, yeah. iPod cases and you know, smaller, there's lots of iPod dongles and accessories and that sort of thing. And also some laptop accessories as well. But a lot of them look, you know, kind of really not particularly well thought through and not the sort of products that you know, I would particularly want to see. They're fine if you just want a cheap cable, but you don't want to rely on it actually working for more than about a few days.
So you're only here for one day at the MacWorld Expo proper. You've been here for a couple days now. Do you want to come back and stay an entire week now, or do you think one day is really enough to get the whole Expo experience?
I, one of the good things about this is the fact it's in San Francisco, which is a beautiful city. There's an awful lot to see here. I can, you know, very much hope that next year I can come back with my family, spend 2 or 3 days here, really getting to see, to sit down with the vendors and talk about the products and what works and what doesn't, and then also spend some time with my family and enjoying the city as well. And I very much hope that next year that's what I can do.
I hope so too. We got Bakari over here, and Bakari's holding the wireless mic because we are filming this. I don't know what we're going to use the film for, but let's get it on tape. So, Bakari, this is your, how many MacWorlds have you been to
now? The fourth one. Thank you very much.
This is your second year that we've got to see each other, actually.
Yeah, great.
Is this your second year for MyMac.com, or is it your...
This is the fourth year.
For MyMac.com.
Yes. Yes.
Bakari, you've been...
MyMac.com, got me here, man.
Four years, you're still here.
Yeah, love
it. You want me to hold this? I can hold both at the same time, so whoever I'm talking to.
The problem is I'm getting feedback from it for some reason.
Oh, from the machine?
Yeah, probably from
you.
Don't worry about it.
No, it's a little bit.
So, what did you see out there? I saw you had a flyer for something that you kind of looked like you were interested in.
Well, let me see. Mac Speech Dictate, which is pretty good. This is coming out next month, and it's supposed to be kind of one of those whatever you're writing or whatever into the computer.
A lot of people don't want to type. They get carpal tunnel.
Right,
sort of thing.
Right. And it's really fast. At least in terms of the demonstration I saw, was pretty fast. But I can't really vouch for it until I actually get my hands on it and see it myself.
Yeah, it always looks good in the demonstration.
Yeah, it looks really good in the demonstration.
It's optimized.
Right.
And they know what they're going to say.
Right.
Yeah, they worked out the bugs.
Right.
But when we get it home,
it could be a time saver if it works.
Something that you think you're going to review in the future?
Yeah, I hope so. It's selling for like $149.
$150 bucks?
$150 on the floor. And then when it comes out, it's going to be $200.
Interesting. So, yeah. Anything else that you saw that was like, I really want to check that out?
Not yet.
You're
David,
here for the rest of the week, right?
No, maybe it's about Thursday.
Maybe Thursday?
But I'm like David, I kind
of... soles of your shoes.
I'm already tired. But it's a good tired, though.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's a good... It's a good burn.
So I love being here, just being able to see different faces and different places. But unlike David, I kind of feel like it was too much iPod stuff out there on the floor. You know, I kind of like everywhere I went, it was this iPod or cases.
Did you go to
both halls? I haven't been to both halls yet, so that may be the
South Hall so far?
The other hall is much more
Mac-centric.
Okay, yeah.
I haven't been over to
on
the
this side,
by
it, myself. It didn't feel that way to me. But, you know, it's okay.
So, this is the first time you've met David.
Right.
Is
heard
there anybody,
on the podcast.
Anybody else on the from the MyMac crew that you haven't met before?
Dan
Robinson. Mm-hmm. Is here, mm-hmm. Not Robertson, Robinson.
Robinson.
Right. Yeah. He spells it incorrectly.
Well, pardon me all the pieces there.
So, and David, of course, hasn't met anybody before, other than Larry. You've actually met Larry prior to the Expo.
He lives near my parents in Florida, and so when I was over in Florida in April, I took the opportunity to meet up with him and spent some time catching up and talking about things, and, you know, he's a great guy. It's nice to talk to him.
Is it weird actually meeting all these people that, like you and me, we've talked quite a bit, especially on the podcast, but now we finally get to meet in person. Is it different?
Obviously, you only get, because even when we talk over Skype or we talk in the podcast, we're talking about specific things, and the conversation doesn't tend to range into wider issues, and so you get more of a feel for what people's personalities are like.
Not when it comes to me, Guy Searle, it's not a good thing. You want that mystique there, you know.
So I've really enjoyed the opportunity, and you know, it's really been great to meet up with everybody.
What did you think about the podcast meetup last night?
I thought it was good. You know, some interesting guys came along, and you know, it's good that people are interested enough in what we do and what we write and what we say. They want to come and meet us and talk to us one-to-one. That's really nice.
I loved it. I thought that was great. I wish you would have been here for that.
It was
interesting to actually meet some of the people that you get email from sometimes, but you get to finally shake their hand and learn a little bit about them, and it really brings us closer to our audience. And I hope listening to this, more people will send in audio and or at least email, let us know that they're listening.
That's a great idea.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. So, Dan,
yes,
you were all over the place today.
All over the place.
I read some of your blog posts, and your feet are already killing you, just like mine, huh?
Well, surprisingly enough, I feel better today than I did yesterday.
Did you? So, I was kicking you yesterday, though.
Well, no wonder I felt bad. But, you know, I got the backpack with a laptop in it, and I thought my back was really twinging yesterday, but today I'm fine.
You feel pretty good?
I'm fine.
What did you see on the showroom floor that was really interesting to you?
Well, John Niemirovsky and I went to see Skull Candy.
Skull Candy. What
Skull
do they make?
Skull Candy. Well, they make earphones, earbuds, backpacks.
Audio equipment. Yeah. Oh, backpacks too.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
and they're
little...
really
go ahead.
Stylishly distinctive.
Yeah, are they?
Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
If you have a younger crowd who wants something distinctive to put on their skull, that's the place to go.
Did they not have anything there that was really of interest to you, or?
Well, intellectually interesting.
Yeah.
I would not buy the pink fluffy earmuffs.
I might.
Well, you may go over there
and buy
them.
I'm very secure in my masculinity.
Well, they certainly had the most distinctive products that I have seen in either of the either Moscone South here or Moscone West there.
So it's Moscone, is it West or is it?
It's Moscone West.
It's West, okay. Is it bigger over there across the street?
No, this is bigger.
The South is bigger.
I would say it's a third the size of this.
Hmm. I haven't been over there yet. Yeah, between everything going on over here, I just haven't made it over there yet. That's going to be obviously high on my agenda tomorrow. Anything that people should look for when they come here, if they're coming later in the week, you suggest, hey, go check out this booth or...
Well, if you're familiar with San Francisco, if you're driving, don't worry about it. But make sure that you have done your homework on the public transit if you do not bring your car.
What is the name of the Apple's new laptop? It's the what?
The Air.
The MacBook Air. Did you get your hands on that at all?
Yes, I did. I looked at it briefly. It's neat. I like it.
It's thin.
Yeah. Very thin.
I haven't touched it yet. I actually filmed it and Owen Rubin got to play with it earlier.
Yeah.
And it looks interesting to me. It doesn't really fit into my computing lifestyle at the moment.
Nor mine. I have the same 15-inch MacBook Pro that you have.
Yeah, and I honestly don't want to replace that right now. It's plenty fast enough. It does everything I want.
It does everything I need.
The weight usually is an issue because I'm not lugging it around. Obviously, at a place like Macworld, it would be nice to have something that light to lug around.
Right.
But it doesn't have all the ports that we need.
Exactly.
For audio and video work. But if we're just blogging or writing articles, and it'd be fine for that.
Well, for instance, I have this backpack that I searched all over Charlotte to find one that really fit. And fit
finding
what
a good
I wanted
backpack
to do.
That fits you is a
oh
you can't just buy them online and assume that it's going to be good for you.
Absolutely not. You are going to pay the price
right.
if you don't, because I can feel it. I can feel it in my back.
Yeah,
but I'm not hurting by
so,
any chance.
Bakari,
by any means.
MacBook Air, is that something that's interesting to you, or
like I was telling David, I can't really justify it. I think I wanted something a little bit smaller. I had envisioned something a little bit smaller. And more of a kind of an entertainment thing where you just kind of like, you know, playing your internet, playing music, have some touchscreen kind of capability.
Yeah.
I really wasn't looking for something where you have the traditional keyboard.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really turn me on either. I'd rather have a MacBook if I was going to get another computer.
I think it's going to sell well.
Probably will.
But I don't know. I haven't spent enough time really thinking about it. I've been pretty busy here.
Well, it feels good. I mean, it feels good.
I
got
nice
my hands
solid,
on it. Really
or?
Nice. Feels really great. I'd love to be able to, like, to walk around with it today because my PowerBook that I have right now, it is weighing me down. So it'd be nice to have this kind of
heavy.
Setting. But I don't travel that much, so I really wouldn't need it to justify it.
Owen Rubin just came out of the media room. Come on over. trying to hide. So is Larry. Come on over, Owen. I'm going to speak with you a little bit for the podcast. So you've had a chance to go down the showroom floor. You looked at a lot of... Did you go to both halls so far? Or just
no,
one?
I've only been over here.
Over here is the south. This
south
is audio.
Hall. South hall.
Pointing doesn't help on the audio.
I was pointing at the video. So. It's the south hall. Yeah.
So you've been over in the south hall. This is where the big companies are.
Okay.
What's kind of jumped out at you other than... Well, let's start with the MacBook Air. You and I went and looked at that together. We got some video, and that's going to be up on the site. What's your impressions of it?
I like it. I like the small size. I've been waiting for another small computer. As you know, I'm a 12-inch PowerBook user. I've been waiting for, you know, something new to come out. But it's in the MacBook line. It's not in the MacBook Pro line.
Right. No optical drive. Does that bother you?
No. And that, you can buy it for $100 external. I'll leave it external. I very rarely ever use it on the fly anyway.
Well, you know for a fact that the MagLite or the Mag what do you call it, the mag?
MagSafe,
right.
David knows it works because he yanked it right out of the machine while he was playing with it. So that worked.
Oh, yeah. I picked up the computer and the power pulled right off the side. So.
And he goes, oh, look, it
works. It's a different connector, though.
It's a different connector.
It's on the side, yeah. And it fits in kind of weird at the angle.
I guess it doesn't matter it's a different connector because nobody but Apple ever makes them because they don't license it to everybody else.
That's true. Right?
That's right.
I liked the lightness. It wasn't hot at all. That one had been running for a while, and the bottom was fairly cool. It's LED backlighting. That seemed to be fairly
very
cool.
Very bright screen.
The screen was very bright. It's got the one we saw had a reflective and yeah. I assume that's the only option, but they didn't say.
I think Apple's really going towards those glossy screens rather than the matte.
It's kind of a Mac Mini in theory because you can only buy it with one configuration and the memory. It's 2 gigabytes, whether you want 2 gigabytes or not,
right.
And there's no user updates. So
no, I don't know how you'd crack that thing open.
You can't even change the battery.
Right.
We can't even change the battery. Oh, I didn't even notice that. The battery's
sealed in.
That's kind of a... I don't know if I like that or not.
We'll see. I mean, the batteries start catching fire like they used to with other manufacturers, then that could be a real
battery's problem. Well, batteries run out.
Tim knows his batteries run out.
But
so
they do wear out. That's a problem.
Oh, this is like the iPhone, so you have to spend $100,
yeah, it is more like
$100 to get it fixed again.
But that's the price you pay for having something that... I mean, it's a custom build.
Right.
I think what's interesting about the MacBook Air is this is, you know, it's... really is a cutting edge piece of technology,
mm-hmm.
And I would expect that other manufacturers like Sony and HP and Dell will be taking what's been developed for the MacBook Air and building that into their own models coming forward, but Apple are the first, and I think that shows the relationship they have with Intel now is the fact, you know, they're actually working together to produce complementary products.
Well, you saw Dell introduced last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, their Ultra Thin, which is a very, very
thin.
It's nowhere near as thin as that, but it's an incredibly small...
Well, this technically would be the thinnest Windows laptop as well, because obviously it could run Windows.
That's a good point. Very good point.
I wonder how, without the SuperDrive, I don't know how you'd put Windows on there, because... their network storage disk image thing, that's not going to work with Windows and Boot Camp, would it?
I don't know.
Boot Camp's meant to support everything in hardware on the machine, so I would imagine that the CD-DVD virtualization software that they supply with the MacBook Air would work on the Windows. Because if it's your first Mac...
I'm wondering.
You're gonna have to talk to a PC drive as well.
It depends on how they do it. If it's a software driver, then they need a driver for it. I didn't see how it was done, so it wasn't clear to me.
I'm pretty sure
how that works.
The keynote notes that I saw, they said it would share for a PC drive as well.
Okay.
What's the processor?
1.6 and 1.8. So $1,799 for the basic unit. That's 2 gigabytes memory. The standard 80 gigabyte real hard drive, 1.6 gigahertz.
Yeah.
On the screen size is a single 13, what?
13.3, like a MacBook.
Then $300 more for the 1.8 and $1,000 more, which we guessed this morning, for the SSD.
Yeah, you called that right on the
All right, so that's about $1,000 worth of memory, and that's exactly what it is, $1,000. Then there's a few little optional.
This is a deep pocket purchase in the current configuration.
$2,100.
But Connie and I were talking before, and our feeling was that this is a halo machine.
Yes. Yeah.
This is a machine that people come into the store to look at. It's an aspiration machine that, if they're well-heeled, and they're not particularly bothered about the details of specs and performance, whatever, they're going to say, I'm going to go and buy that because, you know, that's a nice-looking machine, and I want to have the best machine that Apple has.
Everything else
is...
The original iPod, ironically.
That's right.
That's what the original iPod was, too.
I had to tell you, it felt a little slow. We were trying to play with the multi-touch touchpad, which is kind of interesting, and I went to rotate a picture, and it kind of stepped as
it
rotated.
Jerky.
It was jerky, and in fact, even the guy demoing for me kind of pushed it away because he couldn't get it to do something, and he had to go over here and do it and push it back.
But there could be some pre-release firmware in that.
But you're stressing that. I was also bothered at only 2 gigabytes. I think if that's not changeable, that should have been a 4 gigabyte machine.
I agree.
It's locked in at 2 and you cannot change it.
Okay, so it's aiming for a certain niche market, but it's just the first one. It's everything else.
It's the high-end low machine. I mean, that's how to describe that. It's kind of a sub-MacBook high-end. I don't know how else to describe that. It's the cheap version of the expensive version of the cheapest laptop.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I love the idea that it's light. I mean, that's, like I said, that's my biggest complaint.
You're going to be getting
one. I don't know if I'm going to get one.
That was going to be my question.
I'm a version 2 guy now because I really wanted one when I saw it. So I'm displaying it, and then I walked over and looked at it and went, okay, I'm not quite ready because it didn't even feel like it ran as well as my old PowerBook does. right? And I was kind of bothered by the kind of jerkiness of the interface. So I need to see it. I need to see it released. I'll play with it in the store.
What's
for
the
a while.
Benefit other than weight and the physical size over a MacBook? I don't see
profit for Apple.
Well, obviously, but for me,
the reason I went to a 12-inch is because I used to carry a 17, and after a while carrying that, your shoulder is down to your elbow.
I don't think the MacBook Air is a main computer.
I think this is simply a
portable computer
right.
for the road warrior to take with you.
But see, I used to use a Duo.
Yep.
And to me, the Duo was the coolest machine. It had no at that time, it had no floppy in it, it had no optical drive. It was a very thin machine for its day, but it was just meant to do simple things when you're traveling. I always have another machine at home, be it this time yep. an iMac, next time it'll be a tower, I don't know. And that time it was a tower.
Yep.
So I suspect for me, I want a lightweight something I can carry on a plane, which is why I got rid of my 17-inch.
Right.
You know, it didn't fit under the seat sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for something smaller, so I like that. I mean, when I went into the PC world for a while, I bought the thin Vio. Not because it was the slower machine, but really, really thin, mm-hmm. easy to carry. And
thin is in, stout is out.
Stout is out.
You know,
Larry, you're in trouble, so am I.
even with a 12-inch, it ends up being 18 pounds of stuff on your shoulder.
Absolutely.
You know? And so if you can cut 5 pounds out of what you're carrying.
Well, I think that we got enough for the podcast today. I think we need to wrap it up. We've got a lot of other things that we got to get doing. Anybody out there has got an opinion on the new MacBook, the AirBook, whatever it is that you've got an opinion
hot
on?
Really,
the hot AirBook. We'd really like to hear from you guys. Send us audio feedback to tim@mymac.com. I would tell you, do you remember the phone number to call? Because I don't.
Call Chad.
Hey, guy.
Where's Chad when we need
him? What is our... I'll ask Guy, because if anybody remembers, it'll be Guy. What's our phone number? 801.
801.
And some fives and some nines.
Yeah, some fives in
5-5-5-9
there.
5559 is the last three.
861-5559. Chad, if you're listening, please post
your
phone number.
All you have to do is go up to mymac.com. It's listed right underneath each podcast entry. So we'd love to hear from you guys. Send us some feedback, and we will be back with you tomorrow.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.